The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Don't let it happen. I didn't even pick us, but don't let it happen.
Godwin fumbled the ball. Recovered by Lewis in the end zone.
They're going to have to call them laws to get me off that TV tomorrow if it happens.
For the lead.
Cowboys take the lead.
Back shoulder throw and he makes the snag on his hip. The kick by Sucker. It is good!
Thomas Brady. Oh, my goodness.
Oh my goodness, what a way to start the season, the 2021 NFL season, off with a wild roller coaster ride for our dear friend Marcus Spears, the big swagoo. We welcome you to NFL Live here. Marcus Spears, Mina Kimes, Field Yates, Ryan Clark. I'm coming at you from Fayetteville, Arkansas, here for the Arkansas-Texas game tomorrow morning. And swagoo, we got a lot to get to. We're going to pick games ahead of the weekend. We got a lot to talk about. But first of all, aside from the roller coaster, what stuck out to you about the big opener between the Bucs and the Cowboys?
Yeah, other than the roller coaster, it was Dak Prescott and his performance coming back after such a long layoff and looking like he did. But the most important thing to me and what I enjoyed most was comfortable. He looked like he had been out there. Like this was just a regular season that he was getting started against a team that was really good, but he played at a very high level. I heard a blowout all week. There's going to be a blowout. This ugly. Zach Martin out. Dak Prescott is that guy, and it showed up.
Yeah, mostly what stood out to me was Marcus's Twitter timeline. But beyond that, you know, the Cowboys did a capable job of slowing down Mike Evans last night. Only 24 receiving yards. Chris Godwin was good. But what's old is new again. Antonio Brown, 118 receiving yards on 5 catches. And Gronk looked like almost peak Gronk. He had 8 catches on 8 targets. He had 2 touchdowns. He was exceptional. Good luck slowing down this Bucs passing game this year.
We're not doing big man balling today, so I felt like, I had to give a shout out to Vita Vea in honor of the segment, which I assume will be back next week.
Because
look at this big man balling. I mean, he's like a human bulldozer, so disruptive on the interior of that defensive line. Also a monster against the run. He might be the best player on that Bucs defense, and that is saying a lot, but I mean it.
Hey, I tell you what, thank God for Vita Vea, because the secondary of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is a mash unit. You come into the game without your starting safety, Whitehead. Murphy Bunting is injured on a touchdown to CeeDee Lamb. And now you're playing these backups, and that's why Dak Prescott can go for 4 bills on you, even when you have Vita Vea and 2 dogs on the outside. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers better get healthy on the back end, or that could be the reason that Tom Brady doesn't get ring number 8.
Oh, wow. Ryan, you heard what Marcus said off the top about how impressive Dak Prescott's return was to him. What impressed you most about Dak?
Man, Dak Prescott was in full control. But what impressed me the most is I noticed it more when he had an interception. Now, everybody's going to say Dak Prescott threw an interception. And to the common eye, right, to the commoner, it's going to be, oh, my goodness, look, he drops back. He has an opportunity. He throws the dig, and the dig is thrown in between 4 Tampa Bay Buccaneer defenders. But when you really watch this play and you pay attention to it, it's about poise, it's about anticipation, and it's about confidence. That confidence and all those 3 things led to accuracy. Look at how he throws the ball in between the 4 defenders. He understands it's cover 3. The dagger route is wide open. He knows he has nothing on the backside. So that has to be pinpoint accurate. And even with 4 defenders around CeeDee Lamb, that ball goes in the one place it has to. And CeeDee Lamb is a great player, going to be a big-time wide receiver. But if he makes this catch, we're talking about Dak Prescott in an even more glowing way than we are already.
Yeah, if you're a Cowboys fan, you got to feel pretty good about what you saw from that offense last night. The offensive line held up really well. But the tackles looked particularly good, I thought, against a very good Bucs pass rush. But to me, it was the combination of Dak looking so poised after, you know, coming back from injury, and Kellen Moore's game plan, which I thought was excellent. The fact that they were able to mitigate Tampa Bay's pressure early on with short throws, the quick game. Dak actually averaged, by the way, a 2.39 time to throw, which is the fastest he's gotten rid of the football since 2017, faster than Tom Brady last night. And a great plan against the blitz. When they were blitzed, I believe all three of his touchdowns came against the blitz. All beautiful throws, but he just looked so comfortable, guys. He didn't look like he was afraid of being hit, which is something that I was concerned about going into this game. So we'll talk about the defense later, but I feel like the offense, you have to feel really, really good about what you saw.
No doubt, MK. And listen, I don't want to talk to anybody else about why Zeke didn't have a good game. It was nowhere to run if you watch the damn game, everybody. And it was so good by Kellen Moore and Dak Prescott. The bottom line is, though, this night, obviously Tom Brady makes a game-winning drive, but we've seen him do that every damn year in every game. This was about Dak Prescott being able to carry this team and not coming from behind, not down like we saw him last year in the first four or five games. It was about going blow for blow, trying to figure this out, finding things in this defense that they could exploit. I went back before this game and looked at the Rams week 11 last year against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I was looking for teams that beat them while they were kind of ascending and gaining their identity and doing things the right way. Dallas had a very similar game plan. In that game, it was Cooper Kupp. Short area passes, a lot of digs. Jared Goff looked wonderful. Everything was on time, and Dak looked the same exact way. I believe Zeke will be fine. I believe there will be opportunities to run. And when Zach Martin comes back, that run game is probably going to do a lot different and look a lot better. And I want to give Connor McGovern a shout-out for standing in there for Zach Martin and playing well, especially in the passing game with protection. So it was a really positive night for that unit. But more importantly, to see Ford perform like that after being off for so long, that's why all my people in Dallas is going crazy right now, because they legit feel like they have a guy that you can win a Super Bowl with. Although all of us have felt that way, that hadn't been the consensus.
Yeah, you know, listen, if there were any doubters out there about Dak deserving the contract, I think they should be totally put to bed with those doubts. The other thing, too, is you got to think the Cowboys feel good about their offensive line depth. They will get Zach Martin back, and we'll keep everyone updated on that. Mina, you mentioned there was a time to talk about this Cowboys defense. That time is now. You still have concerns.
I mean, the fact that they were able to get as many turnovers as they did for and still lose. I mean, they came close to winning, but it shouldn't. Yeah. When you get four turnovers, it shouldn't be close, especially when you got an offense like the one Dallas has. I thought, ultimately, the Cowboys' defense did look better than they did last year, which isn't hard, but there's just not enough talent, either in the pass rush outside of DeMarcus Lawrence or in the secondary outside of Trayvon Diggs. There are too many places in this defense, or players, rather, that other offenses can exploit. And look, again, going toe-to-toe with the Super Bowl champs and losing, making it as close to the game as they did, you feel good. You feel good about your offense. But overall, this is still not a balanced football team.
Yeah, guys, I just have to say, as we put a bow on last night's game, how much fun was it to watch football again in this league? It makes you so excited, right? We were having the best time watching from a distance, texting each other throughout the game. I know the fans at home can appreciate that, too, and we just can't wait to be with you all season long. Let's get some injury reports on the latest around the league as we head into week one. Field, we begin with Carson Wentz's status for this week.
Yeah, Laura, we can see Dan Orlovsky smiling from a million miles away as Carson Wentz participated in practice at a full capacity today, and he is going to play on Sunday. He will start for the Indianapolis Colts just about 5 weeks after that foot surgery that at one point seemed like it could keep him off the field for a little bit to start the regular season. Additionally, in Indianapolis, starting left guard Quentin Nelson practiced in full today. My understanding is he will be good to go on Sunday, so some great news there. Meanwhile, in New York, Saquon Barkley is listed as questionable after practicing all week. But I think really, Laura, what they're saying to us is we have to list him on the injury report, but we expect Saquon Barkley to play on Sunday against the Denver Broncos. I do not expect him, however, to be his normal 100% workload self. The Giants are being smart with him as they have all offseason. In Los Angeles, Austin Eckler returned to practice today, which is good news. He was a spectator, although he was in pads, on Thursday. Listed, he will be limited, most likely in practice today. So it sounds like there's a chance, from what I understand, for him to play on Sunday against the Washington football team. But Justin Jackson would be the presumptive next man up in L.A. if Eckler is unable to go because of that hamstring injury that recently popped up. And finally, in Cleveland, Odell Beckham Jr. is questionable, and it sounds like this is a legit questionable. Obviously, Odell coming back from a torn ACL suffered last season. I still do expect, based off what I've heard, him to be on the field on Sunday afternoon against the Kansas City Chiefs. As we know, the Browns are gearing up for what they expect to be their best season in a long time and a great measuring stick game against the Chiefs on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, you know, Field, I think all of us are excited to see OBJ back in that offense, but we have seen this offense for the Browns function really well without him. So if it takes a little bit of time for him to be ready to go, they still feel confident. We're just getting started on NFL Live. We got some huge matchups week one to dive into. After the break, we'll talk Steelers versus Bills. Big Ben in a new offense, but why Josh Allen is under more pressure. Plus, Cam Newton's departure from New England caught everyone by surprise, including Cam himself. We'll hear from the former Patriot on how the exit it all went down. Stick around. We got a whole much more coming your way. Cam bamboozled. Did you guys see that? That's so creative. We'll be right back. NFL Live.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
NFL Live is brought to you by Heineken. Enjoy Heineken responsibly.
Special Between the Lines megacast on Monday Night Football, featuring a live broadcast of the game with analysis from the NFL Live team, plus analysis and odds from Daily Wager. Ravens Raiders megacast on Monday Night Football, only on ESPN Plus.
We can't wait to see you Monday night on ESPN Plus. And how about this, guys, on Sunday, Steelers Bills Sunday at 1 Eastern. Here's how we're picking it. Mina, Ryan, and I all in the Bills. Marcus taking the Steelers. I like it, Swagoo. Going out on a limb there. There is a such thing as the NFL Live curse that happens sometimes, and we all pick the same team for a game. So thanks for that. Maybe the Bills can thank you later, Marcus. We'll see if the Steelers end up winning it. But Ryan, is there more pressure on the Bills or the Steelers to show us something in this one?
There's more pressure on the Steelers. All offseason, we've been wondering what this offense is going to be. And I feel like the frying pan has been hot for this offense since the offseason started. I mean, hotter than, you know, probably the pan that's got the fish grease and the catfish around Swagoo. And so when you think about what this team has to do coming into week one, it's about blocking, right? It's about establishing physicality. It's about finding a downfield passing game. Will Matt Canada's lateral run game lead to more big-time plays from Najee Harris? And so there are so many questions going into the Buffalo Bills game that if the Steelers don't perform, if some of these questions aren't answered, Mina Kimes is going to come in with the Mina Kimes face this week and be like, I can't believe this is going on. Actually, I called
face.
It already. And so from... If the Buffalo Bills come out and they don't play well, Josh Allen doesn't play well, the defense isn't good, you know what's going to happen? We're going to give them a pass because we now believe in them like we used to believe in the Pittsburgh Steelers. So all of the pressure is on the Steelers to perform in week one.
You are so right. Not about the part about my face, but everything else you said, in particular, how we'll react if the Bills lose. You're right. There is a ton of pressure on Pittsburgh, literal pressure, because the offensive line, I don't know if you guys have looked at the depth chart lately, but there's a bunch of new names on there. Dan, literally new, like as of this morning, as of this week, we're finding out that Dan Moore Jr., who's a rookie fourth rounder, is going to be starting on the left side instead of Okorafor, who we assumed was making the transition. Kendrick Green is a rookie. Trey Turner, they're hoping for a bounce back year. They love Dotson, but man, that is a lot of change, a lot of pressure for a group that really struggled last year, particularly at run blocking. And to me, this game, I mean, I'm not going to write off the season if the offensive line looks bad, but I'm going to be very concerned, especially against the Bills pass rush that has added some pieces around Jerry Hughes. and is going to give them a difficult time.
Yeah, but guys, I'm not going to sit here and buy that there's not a ton of pressure on the Bills too, right? They got their fan base so excited last season with what they were
able
to
do. Buy it, Laura.
So much is on Josh Allen's shoulders, right? Is he going to be an MVP candidate once again? Marcus, how would you describe the pressure on Buffalo here?
Yeah, Boogie, that's why Mina and RC are both wrong. We know damn well the pressure on the Buffalo Bills. That's the team that we're talking about being legit Super Bowl contenders, okay? The Pittsburgh Steelers, I've heard no one say the Pittsburgh Steelers are Super Bowl contenders. I've heard everyone say that the Buffalo Bills are Super Bowl contenders. I've heard everyone say that Josh Allen is supposed to be in the top three MVP voting at the end of this year. What this team did last year, we are not talking about the Buffalo Bills in context of winning a game. We are not talking about them having a good season. There is Super Bowl or bust things going on around the Buffalo Bills. That's why the pressure lies there. With the Pittsburgh Steelers, if they come out with a bad offensive line again, what we gonna say? Well, they didn't get that fixed. If Ben don't play well, what we gonna say? Well, Ben old, he gonna be out of there next year anyway. They do not have the same stars and futures aligning as the Buffalo Bills right now. The pressure lies on the people that the most is expected from, and the
Marcus
most is expected from the Buffalo Bills.
Marcus Spears, I'm not going to call you Swagoo because I have to go back to when I met you and you were 18. Marcus Spears, here is what I'm going to say. If you come on NFL Live on Monday and you are not funny and you are not entertaining and you are not good at your job, you know what I'm going to say? You know what everybody's going to say? Not a damn thing, to use your words. You know why? Because we have belief in you. You have proven that you can be something over and over again. This Pittsburgh Steelers team has not done that. The Buffalo Bills have. We believe in Josh Allen now. You believe in that defense. If they come out and the Pittsburgh Steelers happen to play well, you know what we're going to say? Maybe Pittsburgh is a little bit better than we thought they were, but we know Josh Allen going to get it fixed. We know Tre'Davious White going to get it fixed. We know Stephon Diggs is going to get open. And so all of that, what you just said, makes sense in your head, but it is wrong. But what we're not going to do is have you come on here and call me and Mina out for being correct. Okay, and we are right.
No, y'all
and if the
wrong.
Pittsburgh Steelers
y'all
don't
wrong.
Play well,
just because you're
going to be on
just
TV
you talk
cussing
again.
On Monday.
Hey, listen,
just because you talk again don't mean you're right. That
hey,
don't mean you're right. Just because you
got
another take.
We've got receipts on who's going to be right or wrong. We'll find out. The other thing, to Mina's original point, the Steelers are projected to start four rookies on offense. Guys, the last time they started four rookies on offense was 1970. That was Terry Bradshaw's rookie season, so it's been a while. All right, let's get ready for some fantasy football with Field Yates. Field, give us your DraftKings daily fantasy lineup.
Yeah, Laura, good to be back in daily fantasy and season-long fantasy season. I'm talking about a few players that made it into my lineup. It's going to make you a lot of money. And I left $0 to spend. So I maximized my lineup. And normally I'm going to give you the value plays. But I'll just start by mentioning Travis Kelce, who fit into my lineup. And when you're beginning the NFL season, you want to go with what's comfortable, what you know you can count on. How about Travis Kelce, who's got five straight seasons of at least 80 receptions, at least 1,000 receiving yards. He is priced expensive. You know why? Because he's the best tight end in football. He fit into my lineup. He is worth it. He will feast on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. All right, so we take a look at the rest of this lineup, and you're saying to yourself, all right, I see a couple of value plays, but if you're going to spend big at Travis Kelce, you're going to have to find some of that value elsewhere, which is why in the top right of my lineup, you see Michael Pittman Jr., the second-year wide receiver for the Indianapolis Colts. Had a good game for them in the postseason. You're seeing the highlight right now against the Buffalo Bills. This is a player that I'm waiting for the breakout. And remember, no T.Y. Hilton for right now. He is on IR due to that neck issue. Pittman could have a very busy role starting on Sunday against, sorry, Mina, a very, very depleted Seahawks secondary, at least based off what we saw last year. So we've got two players, tight end, wide receiver accounted for. How about a running back? And one of my favorite players in fantasy this year, especially season long, is Antonio Gibson. And what a bargain you're getting at $5,900. Typically in daily fantasy, the goal is to return three times the investment. So $5,900 spent, that equates to about 18 fantasy points. I think that Antonio Gibson can reach that on Sunday against the Chargers. Love this player. And if you want to make a bunch of money this week, like I'm talking like Ryan Clark money, use this daily fantasy lineup. You'll feel really good about yourself.
Let's do it.
Phil, Ryan, I'm taking notes over here. So I'm going to put that's going to be my exact daily fantasy lineup. I'm just going to copy Field Yates and see how it works out for me. Guys, coming up, we've got an AFC playoff rematch in week one when the Browns take on the Chiefs. Our crew tells you how offseason additions for both teams will be a major factor. We'll be right back on NFL Live.
Football is back on DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. And this Sunday only, new players can play free for $1 million top prize when you make your first deposit. Download the DraftKings app and sign up with the code NFLLive.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
New on NFL Live, this on Adam Schefter's Twitter, reporting that Lael Collins was suspended 5 games for violating the NFL's policy and program on substances of abuse. Offensive tackle for the Cowboys. Marcus Spears, your quick reaction.
Oh, that's my reaction. Just devastating, man. Listen, after last night, I'm sure the building was buzzing. I'm sure everybody was excited about what they were able to do from an offensive standpoint. You think about last year not having even Lyle, but a lot of the offensive line for the majority of the season. It's just disappointing. You got a responsibility, not only to your teammates, but to your craft and your job. It's unfortunate, and hopefully when he comes back, this situation can be rectified, and when he comes back, he can play at a high level. But this is not what you want coming into the second week after you have a lot of really good things to build on going forward.
Again, Zach Martin's still on the COVID reserve list, so we'll see when he can return as well. Another new on NFL Live from Adam Schefter's Twitter. You've got this about the Texans and Deshaun Watson officially ruling out quarterback Deshaun Watson for Sunday's opener against Jacksonville. He was listed, according to Adam on the injury report, as not injury related, as we would expect. All right, 2-5 of the 14 games on Sunday in week one between teams that both made the playoffs last season. You got the Steelers and the Bills, the Seahawks, Colts, Browns, Chiefs, Packers, Saints, and Bears, Rams. Guys, give me a specific matchup you're watching on Sunday. Ryan, you first.
For me, it's about Alvin Kamara versus the linebackers of the Green Bay Packers. We're putting so much focus on Jameis and what this offense will look like with Drew Brees that we aren't remembering what they do have. That's one of the top running backs in the entire NFL, and Ken Barnes and Ken Campbell keep up with Alvin Kamara, because once he gets going in the run game, the play action opens up, and also he's a great pass catcher. Can't wait to see him do work.
Yeah, RC, I'm looking forward to seeing Justin Herbert play against this vaunted Washington football team's defense. We both went crazy about both of these. Justin Herbert in particular this offseason based on what he did his rookie year, and Washington football team defense based on a lot of people's opinions supposed to carry them to the NFC East Championship and getting into the playoffs and being able to make noise. Herbert got his work cut out for him. This defense has the work cut out for them. Can't wait to see it.
To Rick and Zach Wilson against the Carolina defense. Zach looked fantastic in the preseason, but he didn't play any starters. Now he gets to go up against Brian Burns, who's one of the rising young pass rushers in the league, a rising young defense overall that's getting better every year under defensive coordinator Phil Snow. I want to see if Zach Wilson is up to the challenge, and if he looks as good as he did in the preseason, watch out.
Let's get to the Browns Chiefs, guys. They have been blown out their last two season openers, the Browns, by a combined 62 points. That's not exactly what Cleveland fans want to hear as their team heads to Arrowhead, especially as they get set to play Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Mahomes has been otherworldly in the month of September in his career, ranking first among all quarterbacks in QBR, touchdown interception ratio, and yards per attempt. Oh, and by the way, the Chiefs are 10-0 in those games. All right, so you're telling me there's a chance, maybe. Anyway, time for smart lineup decisions provided by IBM Watson. And Marcus, Mahomes may be great week one, but last time we saw him, he was running for his life in the Super Bowl. It's why they ended up building that offensive line in this offseason around him to hope protect him. What are you watching for in this one?
That's the exact matchup, L Boogie. Bringing in Orlando Brown and Joe Tooney, and obviously drafting Trey Smith out of Tennessee, who a lot of people are high on at the guard spot, Creed, obviously. And you see the guys here, but you got Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney and this Cleveland Browns defense coming in week one. Continuity takes a while. We all think these guys can play for the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line, but when you're facing arguably the top pass rusher in the league in Myles Garrett, and also Jadeveon Clowney, who's a pressure machine, and these D tackles who can get some push in the center of this defensive line as well. That's the matchup that I'm focused on, because as soon as this line, this offensive line for the Kansas City Chiefs build rapport and have continuity and all of the communication throughout the course of a game, and these guys see real-time action, when Mahomes is protected, he's almost impossible to beat. And we think that's what the narrative is going to be this year with the group that they've assembled. I'm just interested to see if week one they have some issues with communication and being on the same page. If not, we talking about Tampa going 17-0. It could literally be the Kansas City Chiefs in that conversation as well.
Yeah, I'm also excited to watch the Browns defense. I mean, we spent the whole offseason talking about the changes and investments they made on that side of the ball, especially in the secondary, signing John Johnson, safety from the Rams, his teammate Troy Hill, the cornerback, Marcus, you, and Ryan, you can't see me right now, but you remember him from the infamous Giants practice fight. I got my list up. Denzel Ward is back. And then the rookie, Greg Newsom II, he's starting, okay? So they got talent now. Yeah. But when you play an offense like the Chiefs, it's as much about how you deploy that talent as the personnel itself. Like when Kansas City comes out in their 3-by-1 formation with Travis Kelce split out wide, who's got Kelce? Who's got Tyreek Hill when he's in the slot on those deep crossers that are so difficult to defend? Those are the decisions that Joe Woods, who is the defensive coordinator of Cleveland, is going to have to make. And finally, now he has the players to make those decisions. So I'm really excited to see what he does. By the way, this is Troy Hill.
I knew she was gonna do it.
I'm actually really excited that Mina brought up that, we'll call it, little skirmish, because
really
this week I've been watching Swagoo. I've been watching Dan Orlovsky, and Dan said that you have to go haymaker for haymaker with the Kansas City Chiefs, and that's why you can't run the football. Well, I don't agree with that. I mean, as you guys know, I have an MMA show now, and I've seen many a man drop by getting punched in the liver, drop by getting punched in the kidney, and that's when you get them on the ground
and
you pound them out. And so now if you have Kareem Hunt, and now you have Nick Chubb, who just signed a new deal, those plays can turn into huge plays. Those plays can turn into points. And what happens when you can't stop the run? As Mina Combs mentioned on the production call, Willie Gay's not there, right? Tyrann Mathieu might not be playing. So now you can't stop the run. That's when Kevin Stefanski gets into play action, which we saw Baker Mayfield excel at down the second half of the season last year. So I can't wait to see this run game of the Kansas City Chiefs, who we've never been confused as being very physical, dominant, against the Cleveland Browns, who are. They are physical. They are gritty. They are dominant in the run. And if you can't stop that, then you won't have Patrick Mahomes on the field to make all those plays and be protected. This game is so interesting from a style and fight matchup. I cannot wait to see it.
Yeah, you know what you saw
there? I guess they'll believe you because you said it. I guess they'll believe you because you said it. Because when I said it, you go blow for blow and you throw the ball all over the yard. So maybe they'll believe you, man. Sorry, El Boogie.
You know what? It's smart to run the ball against a bad run defense. It's like Ryan said, styles make fights, and it's all about matchups.
Well, we all know they're going to believe Mina when she said it, right? The rest of us, I'm not so sure.
Because she's smarter.
Coming up on NFL Live, let's talk Mac Jones making his rookie debut against his former Alabama teammate Tua Tagovailoa on Sunday. Someone here thinks Bill Belichick will have something up his sleeve for the young Dolphins quarterback. Hey, this guy usually has something up his sleeve. Find out what all that's about next on NFL Live.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Coming this week on Sunday NFL Countdown, Patrick Mahomes goes one-on-one with his former teammate Alex Smith. Plus, Randy Moss ranks the week's best catches, and you got Moss. Kickoff week one with Countdown at 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN. And then the 52nd season of Monday Night Football kicks off on Monday with the Ravens in Vegas taking on the Raiders, 8 Eastern on ESPN. ABC, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. A special edition of Monday Night Countdown kicks off the coverage at 6 Eastern, and the Ravens in a really interesting situation with the injuries. They signed Latavius Murray to a one-year deal worth up to $2 million today, according to Adam Schefter. Murray becomes the fourth running back signed by the Ravens this week as they try to fill those voids on their team. Free agent quarterback Cam Newton spoke publicly today for the first time since the New England Patriots cut him 10 days ago. In a YouTube Live with his father, Newton said he isn't retiring and didn't see this move coming from the Patriots. Here's more from Cam.
Do I think this would have happened without me being away from the team for 5 days? Honestly? Yes.
It was gonna happen. Inevitably.
Did it help ease the decision? Yes. If they would have asked me, would I play behind, they said, Cam, we're gonna give the team to Mac.
Okay.
You're gonna be the second string. We expect you to be everything and some to guide him throughout this tenure.
Okay.
I would have said absolutely, yeah.
Cam.
But listen.
Cam.
Listen, the truth of the matter is this. He would have been uncomfortable.
Really interesting. Check out that entire interview. And here's the reality. Rookie Mac Jones said this week that Cam was a really good mentor to me, as now Mac prepares to go against Tua. He'll get his first career start against Tua Tagovailoa. Now, of course, they are division foes. And I guess on Cam Newton, the interesting part is that I think a lot of us agree that Cam would be the best backup in the league, the best backup quarterback. If he does get another opportunity, he does want to start. But I thought it was really telling that he said he would back someone up. Anyway, Mina, what are you watching for when Mac faces this Dolphins defense?
I want to see how he responds to a real challenge. I mean, this kid's obviously met every challenge that's been placed in front of him so far, but the Dolphins are unique. They're very good, and they're good in a way that I think might give him trouble. A couple things particular. In the preseason in week three, you saw Mac Jones struggle a teeny bit when the Giants secondary disguised their intentions and he had to hold on to the football. That is something Miami is very good at. Disguising coverage, also basically wreaking havoc and creating a lot of confusion with their pressure as well. And they're also very good at playing man. Fourth in QBR last year, and they play a lot of man. And if I was a defense generally against Mac Jones, that's what I'd want to do because he's not a threat to take off. And the Patriots skill players, while they are improved, I don't think they're going to separate the way some groups are in the NFL. So, you know, it's a very difficult matchup for him. Now, I think given how strong their offensive line is, in particular how strong the Patriots' run game is, I wouldn't be surprised if they lean heavily on that and do it well against Miami. But as far as passing goes for Mac Jones, this is a difficult one.
Ryan, how would you look at this from these former Alabama quarterbacks? Who has the tougher matchup? Is it Mac versus Miami, or is it Tua versus New England?
I believe it's Tua versus New England, and I know people are going to probably say on the back end the Miami Dolphins are better, but think about Bill Belichick and the pieces they've added to this defense. Now, add that to the expectations that Tua Tagovailoa has to be better coming into his second year. Tua Tagovailoa has to push the football down the field. All of these different things we're saying that he needs to progress in order for him to be successful as the starting quarterback of the Miami Dolphins. And I think when you start trying to make someone be something outside of what they want to be right now, or what they're comfortable being, or what they can grasp at this time, you put them in harm's way. And the one team and the one coach and the one defense you don't want to put your quarterback in harm's way is against the New England Patriots, and we'll see that week one.
Yeah, y'all know that meme when them Superman dudes be looking at each other, pointing at each other like they look alike. That's what that's Spider-Man. Spider-Man. Yeah, not Superman. Spider-Man.
Oh, no. Spider-Man.
That's what the hell Tua and Mac Jones gonna be looking at. They gonna be like, dude, all of this looks all too familiar. Yeah. One thing we gotta remember is that Brian Flores is a New England Patriots guy. They have a great understanding about what each other wants to do and get accomplished. From a defensive perspective. And two, like, y'all, last year, I think Tua was like 20 for 26 or something like that, but it was only 145 yards against the New England Patriots. And what did we talk about in the offseason? We want to see Tua let it go, pull the pin, be a little bit more explosive. And that opportunity may present itself in this game. Look, Bill Belichick puts veteran quarterbacks in a spin cycle, right? But I think there's advantages to having that Brian Flores and that staff who has a great understanding about philosophically what Bill Belichick likes to do from a defensive standpoint. Like, we know it more in depth and intricate, but from a surface level, everybody out there knows Bill Belichick wants to take away what you do best. That's the first priority when he steps into a game from a defensive standpoint. So now that means Waddle, Gesicki, Grant, Devontae Parker, all of these guys on the outside are going to have to make plays. Because I tell you this, before we end it, you are not going to line down and run the ball down Bill Belichick defense's throat. That is not going to happen. He hadn't allowed it for the majority of his career. You're going to have to be able to push the ball downfield a little bit.
Yeah, a reminder, this game is in New England as well. And as it relates to big-time rookie quarterbacks, in fact, number one overall pick success in this league in week one. Since 2003, quarterbacks selected first overall in the NFL draft are 0-12-1 in their NFL debuts. The good news for Trevor Lawrence, though, is he gets his first start against the Texans. ESPN's Football Power Index actually has Jacksonville as the slight favorite in this one, giving them a 52% chance to win. Time for some quick reads on quarterbacks making their first start with their respective team. Related to Lawrence, we were just talking about, what are you watching for in that matchup?
Laura with the savage. Good news, he gets to play the Texans, Burn. You're right. I was worried about him in the preseason, watching him behind that offensive line, and I'm still worried about them, but I'm not really worried in this game because I think with the Houston front seven, he won't have much trouble, and he'll be able to get the ball to his skill players, who are very talented.
Marcus, expectations for Sam Darnold facing his former team and Zach Wilson?
I expect Sam Darnold to play well, but I want to keep everybody keep in mind that Robert Saleh is now in control of that defense for the New York Jets, and we expect them to be good. But Sam Darnold has the requisite weapons with Christian McCaffrey being back, Robbie Anderson on the outside. He has an opportunity here to show the franchise that booted him that he's a far better player. Joe Brady and Matt Rhule is going to want to see to it.
RC, more quarterbacks with new teams. Matthew Stafford facing Andy Dalton on Sunday night.
Yeah. Well, first off, I don't really care about Andy Dalton. I hope he does well. I doubt that he does well with Aaron Donald in his face. But I am looking forward to seeing what Matthew Stafford can do, right? Matthew Stafford has to be like, give us free. He has to be so excited. He's out of Detroit, but he's getting to play a team that he's used to playing in the Chicago Bears. And Sean McVay has been so excited to add Matthew Stafford to this offense, feeling like he can do all of the things that he's always wanted to do from the quarterback position. We will get to see it week one against a very good defense in the Chicago Bears. What's the difference between Matt and Jared?
Yeah, you know, that segment
that
got sneaky savage.
Did you guys? We didn't.
I'm Andy Dalton balls out, and we have to show up on Monday and eat crow. All of us.
By the way,
I'm guilty of it too.
All of us are going to have to eat crow if that happens, Mina. I will do it as well. We'll get like an actual crow and we'll eat it on Monday. All right,
coming up on Andy Dalton, I will pick turkey bacon.
What?
And if Andy Dalton balls, I'm going to buy a jersey and wear it.
Yes, that I would like to see.
You guys have now said all that. Ryan Clark, in case you missed it, said he's going to eat turkey bacon, which is sacrilegious for him. Coming up on NFL Live, Jameis Winston will begin his redemption season with the Packers and reigning MVP Aaron Rodgers going up against them. One of our people here believes Rodgers could be in for a field day against a depleted Saints secondary. We'll be right back. Messing with a king. You messing with the king. You're under my reign.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
NFL Live is brought to you by Dos Equis. Get a dose. Please enjoy responsibly. Thousands affected by Hurricane Ida urgently need support. Donate at redcross.org/ESPN to help the Red Cross respond to and help people recover from this disaster. Despite the loss last night, the Cowboys actually have increased their chances to win the NFC East. According to ESPN's Football Power Index, during the preseason, Dallas had a 44% chance to win the division, but today their chance is up to 48%. Big rise there. They even improved in FBI's rankings, moving from 14th to 10th in the NFL. So I'm just wondering here, did last night change anyone's mind on who wins the NFC East? Mina Kimes, you go first.
No, I'm still sticking with Washington, especially, by the way, after the news that right tackle Lyle Collins has been suspended, because I already knew the Cowboys' offense was good, and I didn't really gain that much confidence in their defense. Unless Ryan Fitzpatrick comes out and lays an egg on Sunday, I still think that defense makes them the more balanced team.
Yeah, I still think the Dallas Cowboys have the best chance to win the NFC East, and the defense didn't show me exactly what I needed to see, but boy, that offense was good. Now, Mina makes a great point mentioning that Collins will be out for the next 4 to 5 weeks, whatever the suspension is, and they were great last night. But when you play the Washington football team, it's going to be what can Fitzmagic do, and I don't know if he can outdo Dak Prescott.
It's the Cowboys. It's the Cowboys, and I ain't changing it. Y'all know damn well I'm not changing it. I don't even know why y'all asked me to answer this question. First of all, shouldn't have even been in the rundown for me to say anything. We should have just put the Dallas Cowboys up there and let it sit. The star. We should have just let it sit up there, because I'm with RC on this. From an offensive standpoint, best quarterback in the division, and I'm telling y'all, yep, this defense is going to get better. This defense is going to continue to get better. And from a scheme-wise, they turned the ball over 4 times. That's nothing to shake a stick at. So I'm looking at the Dallas Cowboys now even better than what I saw them going into this game. So,
hey, by the way,
somebody's going to be right, and I think it's going to be me.
Whoa, shoulder shimmy. That's like a backstroke. Now wow. We got the finger point. My goodness. Hey, Mina,
oh my
get that
goodness.
As a gift. ASAP, okay, and tweet it out. She's already on it.
Every
by the way, our producer, our producer Susan put that in the show for you to do that shoulder shimmy, so it all worked out. Packers facing the Saints in Jacksonville because of Hurricane Ida. This one at 4:25 Eastern on Sunday. Look at our picks here. We're all on the Packers in this one, but Mina has it as a 1-point game. I like it, Mina. I apparently have it as a much larger difference there. Wow. Marcus, what do you want to see from Jameis Winston as he takes over this role as starting quarterback for the Saints, the first time we really will see a new starting quarterback in the post-Drew Brees era?
Yeah, Jameis had a phenomenal interview with Jeremy Fowler this offseason, and he talked about not being Batman and sometimes just allowing guys around him to make plays. There's a 3rd and 16, and Mina and L Boogie and RC, y'all know what I'm pointing at, against the Jacksonville Jaguars. When Jameis wanted to be old Jameis, but the tutelage and the things about watching Drew Brees and being around Sean Payton made him check that football down to a running back, live with the fact that they would punt, and then go to play another day. We saw the arm strength. We know the talent. I'm telling y'all, I was like, Jameis and Taysom are not in the same stratosphere when it comes to playing quarterback. Jameis Winston cuts down on turnovers. He's a top 10 quarterback in this league. He threw for 5,100 yards and 30 touchdowns while throwing 30 interceptions. That's how good he is. Mm-hmm. Think about that for a second. So, Jameis, take care of the football, bro. Ascend the top 10.
Guys, very simple. Here's my motto for Jameis for the year. Don't take the is out of Jameis. Jameis is talented. Jameis is explosive. Jameis is fearless. Now we just don't need Jameis to be careless. And if Sean Payton fixes that, if Jameis Winston buys into that, this can be the most explosive New Orleans Saints offense we've seen in the last 5 years.
Wow. And Mina, you have this as a one-point game. You still do have the Packers winning it. On the other side, though, what about the Packers offense against the Saints defense?
So there are some things working in the Saints' favor, particularly their pass rushers against a Packers offensive line that has been completely jumbled up with David Bakhtiari out. And it's really the biggest issue with this team right now. So I'll be watching to see how they hold up against Cam Jordan, Marcus Davenport and company. But the problem in New Orleans, let me put it this way. Our Saints reporter, his name is Mike Triplett. He does a terrific job. I've been texting him like once an hour asking him, Mike, who is playing quarterback opposite Marshawn Lattimore? Because
True story. No one knows.
If they traded for Bradley Roby,
nobody
but he can't
knows.
Play yet.
You're right.
Ken Crawley is hurt. I think it's going to be Paulson Adebo, who opted out last year and is a rookie. So while we may not know the identity of the second cornerback, you know who does know? Aaron Rodgers, and he is going to go after him so hard on Sunday. I apologize in advance to that man. It's not your fault. And it's why I'm picking the Packers, even though I like the Saints pass rush. I just think Aaron Rodgers against a rookie cornerback who hasn't played football in like 2 years is not a great situation.
Time for one more thing before we go. Player you're most excited to watch this weekend. Who's first? I believe it is Ryan.
Me.
RC.
Saquon Barkley. And he won't even say if he's playing or not. Joe Judge is being all cloak and dagger. And the injury report is all strange. And Saquon is all, I don't know. You better know, because if you ain't out there, if you ain't playing, they in trouble.
I'm looking forward to seeing Derwin James play. If he stays healthy, he'll be in the conversation Defensive Player of the Year. Y'all have no idea the talent of Derwin James, but you will find out if he can play a 17-game season. He will quickly ascend into being one of the top five defenders in the NFL.
I cannot wait.
Absolutely.
Julio Jones with A.J. Brown. That is going to be an intimidating sight. But just seeing him in a new offense, playing with a new quarterback in Ryan Tannehill, and seeing how explosive this offense can be. We were kind of counting them out until Julio was traded. Now I'm excited to see if it pays off.
I'm excited to see Kyle Pitts, you guys. Yes. And it could be because I went to Florida and I'm also from Atlanta.
But anyway,
he's going to ball out. And we'll see you next week. Enjoy the Sunday slate of the NFL.